Hey everyone, this is Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for coming back for another episode of the Fantasy Pros Baseball Podcast. Pitchers and catchers reported this week, and that means spring training's right around the corner. So today we'll be hitting up some of the recent news items and talking about who we'll have our eye on during spring training and what to look out for. Joining me as today's guest is Al Melchior, who writes everywhere, it seems, including some killer stuff over at Fangraphs.com. Hey Al, thanks for coming on the show.
Bobby, thank you so much for inviting me. It's exciting that we finally have spring training underway. So
yes,
suddenly a lot more to talk about.
So I think everyone who listens to the show probably knows I went into full agony mode when the news started trickling out about Alex Reyes having some discomfort, then needing an MRI, then probably going to be out for the season, now being shut down for the whole year, and hopefully that's where it ends. Hopefully it's not like they remove his arm or something. Al, I'm so bummed.
Yeah, no, it's, even if he's not somebody that you've been stashing away in your dynasty league and, you know, awaiting this chance that we thought that he would have to be in the Cardinals rotation this year, it's heartbreaking, you know, anytime, with a pitcher when they have to undergo Tommy John surgery. It's a major bummer. So, not the way we really wanted to start spring training off, unfortunately.
You know, when he comes out on the other side, though, the good news is he's going to get 12 to 18 months to build his body up better than it's ever been before. So maybe he comes back thrown even harder. He's going to have to refine his command, which was already a little bit of a struggle. But I moved him down to number 13 in my prospects list from number one overall. So I think he still has a great future. It's just going to take a while to get there now.
Yeah, and that ranking sounds about right to me, too. And you also mentioned the fact that if there is a weak link with Reyes, it is his control. And that's something that pitchers, not always, but typically they do struggle with when they come back from Tommy John. So
yeah, it's just finding your mechanics and getting comfortable with, you know, what your body feels like now all of a sudden after not having thrown the ball for 12 months. And, pitchers say that's what the challenge is. I couldn't even throw strikes without Tommy John, so I can't even imagine how tough it is.
Yeah, no, me neither. So, we'll look forward to his return hopefully sometime in 2018, and you never know. Occasionally a pitcher does come back from that surgery and doesn't need much of a transition period. So, but in time, I'm sure Reyes will be a top pitcher, whether it's early next year, late next year, or maybe the year after.
So a lot of people are wondering, like, with Alex Reyes now out of the rotation, and John Mozeliak came out and said Alex Reyes wasn't for sure going to make the rotation. They have a lot of options there. I saw one projection model has the Cardinals at 75 wins even before Reyes' injury happens. I'll tell you what, if that happens, I'll eat my Mack Weldons on camera for every listener to the show to see. There's no way that's going to happen. You've got Lance Lynn coming back. Waino and Waka both had their career worst years and are now fully recovered from their injuries, apparently. Then the fifth spot, you've got Luke Weaver, top 40 prospect who tore up the minors and then struck out 11 hitters per nine innings in the bigs last season. I think he's the guy who's going to get the job. Or you've got Marco Gonzalez, who, if you'll remember, had ace Carlos Martinez beat out for the fifth spot in the rotation 2 years ago before he was injured. And maybe Trevor Rosenthal gets stretched out. The Cardinals have a lot of starting pitcher depth. I think they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, that projection is definitely very, very pessimistic. I'm not that optimistic about the rotation, though. That's a thing, but I don't think that it's weak enough that you can call them a 75-win team. But they always find a way, whether it's calling up an unheralded prospect, or somebody like a Jeremy Hazelbaker, who
there you go,
good production. It's somehow the Cardinals always do. Last year, Johnny Peralta goes down. Aledmys Diaz, who was really off almost everybody's radar, but had a good finish to his minor league season in 2015. And he just built on that and had a great rookie season that nobody saw coming. So they always find a way, and then they find a way with pitching too. But there are a lot of question marks here. And
absolutely,
just like we were talking about with Alex Reyes and not knowing how he will be when he returns, Lance Lynn, maybe he returns to form fairly quickly. Maybe he doesn't. Adam Wainwright, does he bounce back now that he's in the post-peak phase of his career? Carlos Martinez, I'm not sure what kind of pitcher he'll be, because he seemed to be one who definitely struggled more with command last season than he did the season before. A lot of question marks there. And then, who's going to fill that last spot? If it's Michael Waka, how good will he be? Can Luke Weaver keep the ball in the park, given the struggles he had late last season in his call-up? So, lots of question marks, and the Cardinals being the Cardinals, they'll probably all iron themselves out. But I do think that there's, if that doesn't happen, I do think the Cardinals could miss the playoffs. And to me, that feels almost like going out on a limb, because they always do make it in the end, it seems.
I'm a Cardinals fan. I'd be surprised if they do make the playoffs. I don't think the Cubs are sweating by any means. Of course, they've got a shot at the wild card. But then you've got the Giants, the Nationals, the Dodgers are all so good. The Mets are pretty good. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough for them.
Yeah.
Now, let's go ahead and move on over to the Sean Rodriguez story. He's likely going to be out for the season for the Braves after that car accident. And thank the Lord. And I mean that sincerely. Didn't kill anyone in his family. So the Braves traded for Brandon Phillips, who doesn't really have any fantasy value outside deep leagues or NL-only leagues. What this does mean, however, is that Jose Peraza is going to see significant playing time for the Reds. I think he can kind of be like a Jonathan Villar light. Unless his ADP skyrockets, I'm going to be rostering him in a ton of leagues this year.
Well, I think probably more D. Gordon light, which, you know, a different position now for D. Gordon, but not necessarily a bad thing. But when you say Jonathan VR, I assume at this point now that there's going to be some power coming from VR. We saw it last year.
That's a good point.
Saw it a little bit earlier in his career. I don't expect any power from Peraza. You know, I think maybe three home runs, one or two of which probably be inside the park. Granted, they still count that way in fantasy.
Yeah.
But I'm more bearish on Peraza than a lot of other people that I've seen in the industry. I don't doubt the speed. I do doubt the base stealing efficiency from him, which I think could limit him to being more of a 20-25 stolen base guy as compared to a 40 or 50 stolen base source. And I don't know about the batting average either, which you know, obviously was not a problem last season with the Reds. But he does not strike out much, but he had a very high BABIP, and I just don't know that he generates enough power to consistently get hits on balls in play. Like last year, he had a 21% hard contact rate, which is really very, very small.
Yeah, that's not impressive.
Yeah, not impressive at all.
He did bat .299 in the minors throughout six seasons. He stole 220 bases in 532 games. So he's absolutely a speed machine, but you're right. The power numbers are really lacking. VR is not the best comparison for him, but I do like the D Gordon comp. Maybe not that great right away, but where he's going in drafts right now, he's going undrafted. If I can get him in the last round and he's 70% of the production D Gordon will give you, I'll take that all day.
Oh yeah. I mean, if you can get Peraza without having to really invest anything, obviously that's something that you want to pursue. But I have a feeling that ADP, now that Peraza is slated for full-time play as a sure thing, I think that ADP is going to go up. I'll be pleasantly surprised, but I'll be surprised if Peraza is still available in the late rounds in the rotors.
So last year, Al, I made the mistake of being way too optimistic on Michael Brantley's health. Now it looks like he's going to miss all of spring training again. Would our listeners be crazy to draft him in hopes that he bounces back?
It depends on where. I think if it's anywhere from the middle rounds on down, round 14, 15 or later, I don't think that's crazy at all. But I was just like you, Bobby, last year. I can't remember exactly where I drafted him. Obviously, just about anywhere you drafted Michael Brantley was too high last year. But I want to say maybe seventh, eighth round.
Yeah. And then I held on to him like the whole season.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty gun-shy this year about Brantley, and so that's why, yeah, I'm not really, if it's going to cost me a pick in the first 10 or 12 rounds, I'm probably not going there. But, in fact, I left him out of my top 75 on FanRag, FanRag Sports. We have consolidated rankings with myself and then our two other fantasy writers, Jim Finch and Greg Jewett, and we listed the top 75 outfielders, and Brantley just missed it for me. I think I had him 77th.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty far down there. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think that you can get an outfielder like that who was an MVP candidate just a couple years ago, that late in the draft. But even still, I don't think I'm going to touch it. There's just those shoulder issues. They don't go away.
No, you know, certainly not for him, it would appear. And, you know, also think about Devin Travis and the struggles that he's had and all the time that he missed due to shoulder injury. So, yeah, it's not something that you could take for granted. And a year ago, I did pretty much take for granted that Brantley would come back and come back soon enough that he'd be a major contributor for me. And obviously that didn't happen.
Speaking of shoulder issues, there's another player that really bit people in the butt last year. Bryce Harper was horrible as we know, well, at least for his standards. There's a lot of speculation that perhaps it was a shoulder injury that was messed up. I'm really excited to see, you know, if Harper is going to deliver this year on his upside. We could be talking about a guy who hits 350 with 50 bombs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want to go crazy on him in drafts, but I got to see how his swing looks in the spring. Where do you fall on Harper?
Yeah, I'm certainly not as big on Harper as I was a year ago, but that's not saying much because I was one of the people who was actually taking him ahead of Mike Trout with the number one pick. So, I'm not even putting him in the same conversation with Trout, but I do have him now as my fourth ranked outfield eligible player behind Trout, Mookie Betts, and Chris Bryant. So for me, Harper is still conceivably a first rounder, but now I'm looking at maybe taking him 11th or 12th, as opposed to one of the top two or three.
So would you take someone like Anthony Rizzo, who's a lot safer but doesn't have anywhere near the upside, over Bryce Harper this year?
Yeah, I would, because for one thing, I think Rizzo maybe has a little bit of upside that we haven't seen yet. Not that I would draft him to get that, but I'm not really, he's young enough that I wouldn't rule it out either.
I keep thinking that, I keep thinking that there's got to be some upside there, and his stats are identical almost every single season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's still young enough that you're right. It could happen. He could take a step or two forward, but I don't know. I'm just kind of fatigued on that idea right now.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't, view Rizzo as an upside play per se. I'm just, saying that, maybe he is even better than what we've seen.
Absolutely.
But he's right in the peak of his career. So it's certainly nothing that I'm banking on.
Don't hear me wrong. I would love to have Rizzo on my team. I mean, you're going to get out of him, and it's a great fantasy asset.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that I do feel like he's a safe pick who probably, if there's upside, I think there's probably more upside than downside. And Harper, you don't know what you're going to get. And the thing is, I don't necessarily take a whole lot of comfort in the fact that there may have been a shoulder injury last year, because Harper is somebody who has dealt with injury on and off during his still pretty young career. And, who's to say he won't miss time this year or lose productivity as a result of it? So I'd go the safer route with Rizzo.
Even if the shoulder thing doesn't come back, Bryce Harper just plays so hard that you have to imagine he's going to miss some time here or there. It's just the type of player he is. It's the way his body's held up. I really hope he doesn't turn into another Ken Griffey. I mean, it would be great to get those, 7 or 8 incredible years in his prime, but Griffey's career was ended way too soon. We could have seen so much better from him. And I don't know, it just seems like Harper might be that type of player who always ends up getting hurt here and there.
Yeah, I worry about that too. I think this year will go somewhat of a long way to really setting that narrative about him. And we'll see. Again, still think he's a potential first rounder, but because of last season and the injuries, that he's just not, I'm not viewing him on quite the same level.
So there's a few pitchers I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on for spring training. Last season, virtually everyone on the Cubs had a career year, including John Lester, despite all of his underlying stats taking a step backwards. Now that his personal catcher, David Ross, is gone, I'm really curious to see how he responds to this, especially since, we know he's kind of a little bit of a head case with the throwing over to first thing. I'm also intrigued to see how Arrieta can bounce back. Is he going to go back to dominance, or is he going to continue spiraling downwards? I mean, it seems like he just threw so many pitches the past 2 years that he kind of hit a wall. What do you think about these two, Lester and Arrieta?
Well, I'm much more worried about Arrieta, because while you talk about there being maybe a little bit of a decline with Lester, I mean, he's still essentially the same pitcher he's been for quite a while, roughly a strikeout per inning, slightly better than average control, and just gets the job done. Now, if you're going to draft him based on an ERA in the mid-2s like he had last year, then yeah, I think you're going to be disappointed, because not only is he losing David Ross as his battery mate, but he stranded 85% of his runners, with almost unheard of last year. So
yeah,
Even if it's the same pitcher, the same skill indicators, you're probably going to get somebody at best with a low 3s ERA. And I say that because you talk about everybody on the Cubs having a career year. Well, I think the defense really boosted everybody to a certain level.
That's a great point.
Yeah, because one of the ways that they really succeeded was by having the lowest BABIP allowed in the majors. So I think the defense saved them a lot of runs, and they still have a very good defense. But
what if Kyle Schwarber is back there catching games, though? I mean, that's got to change it a lot, right?
I don't think he's going to catch that much. So I think it'll be limited enough that you probably won't see the impact on pitchers' ERAs. Not to the point where going to be Grandeur. I still think that whatever amount Schwarber catches, I don't think it's going to be enough that suddenly Kyle Hendricks would be a 4 ERA pitcher or Lester's going to be 3.5. But Arrieta, just to get back to him for a moment, he's the one that concerns me because he's the one who did have the skill set that really took a hit last year, particularly in the second half. And whenever there's a pitcher who has had a history at some point of control issues and they revert back to that after conquering them for a certain period of time, that really worries me because I've just, in playing fantasy more than 20 years, I've just been burned so many times by pitchers who conquer their control issues, but then once they lose it again, they really, they really have a tough time regaining form. And for some odd reason, I'm thinking about AJ Burnett right now, but
that's a good comparison there.
Yeah. I worry about Arrieta maybe being on that path.
Yeah. I'm worried about Arrieta as well. I almost wonder if he was maybe injured at the end of last season. A lot of times they'll pitch through these minor injuries. I mean, we found out the other day that Alex Reyes has had this ligament in his arm torn for a couple years and he's pitched through it because it was just a minor tear. They expected it to heal and it just never healed. And so they figured, well, it's time to take care of it. A lot of these pitchers pitch through minor injuries and then they get really bad. I hope that's not what happened with Arrieta because it's a joy to watch him. But I'm always concerned when guys go backwards that much, that quickly, that something's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to worry about that too. And again, not necessarily an encouraging thing when you come up with the narrative that maybe somebody's hurt. It might explain away an unexpectedly bad performance, but then, well, what if this pitcher is hurt? what does that mean this season? So no matter what the reason is you think it be, I'm really concerned about Arrieta, and there's no way I'm drafting him as a number one starter this year. I think once you get to number two and the quality falls off, then you take some risk, people. But that's the point of the draft at which I'm ready, and I'm sure he'll be gone in most leagues at that point.
Yeah. Two other Cubs that are going to have to win me over this spring, Wilson Contreras, Kyle Schwarber. Al, what do you think about these two players? Are they going to get full playing time?
I think Contreras will as much as a typical catcher does, maybe just slightly less just because of the Cubs having three different options at catcher. But, and Schwarber, too, he'll get his playing time just because, again, he can mostly play in the outfield. It's a Joe Maddon team, so somehow he'll wave his magic wand and find something that's close to full-time playing time for everybody.
Yeah.
Squeezing 10 or 11 players into a eight-man, regular lineup. So.
And plus, they score so many runs that everyone's going to get a bunch of extra at-bats anyway.
Or maybe that. So I don't really discount either one, maybe more than a little. Because of that situation, and Contreras, he just has so much promise that he already showed last year, and I think he could be an even better contact hitter than he was. Showed nice power, and at the catcher position, that combination is pretty rare. You have guys that can hit 20-25 home runs, but not provide a good batting average, and then you've got the Yadi Molinas and JT Realmuto's of the catcher pool who will give you batting average, and in Realmuto's case, maybe some stolen bases, but not a whole lot of power. So the fact that Contreras can give you both, even if he doesn't play as much as, say, a Molina or a Realmuto, I certainly like him better than either.
Yeah, Wilson Contreras has such a spectacular upside. I mean, we're talking about a guy who batted .350 in the minor leagues last year with lots of power, doesn't strike out all that much. Now I look at him, and he's got that profile of a guy who has a big sophomore slump every once in a while, like a Yasiel Puig. He came up, he's got a lot of pride. And I just wonder, now that everyone's had the offseason to get the book on him, maybe they find a hole in his swing, take advantage of it, and he just loses that chip on his shoulder, which has really taken him over the edge. Now, he's got a lot of upside. I think he can be the best fantasy catcher in baseball this year, but it just scares me a little bit. I want to see how he does this spring. Now, with that said, it looks like we lost Al's connection, or maybe he just didn't like what I had to say and couldn't take it anymore. We did have a few more players lined up to chat about, so I'll do my best to get into them on my own. Then we'll cut the episode a little shorter than usual. Let's start with Dansby Swanson, who's a major question mark for me this spring. When he was drafted first overall, he seemed like a very polished but low ceiling type of player. Now, granted, he plays a premium position in fantasy baseball, so he doesn't have to bat 300 or swat 25 homers to be a really useful piece. But based on his minor league numbers and the tools we're hearing about, I think he's primarily a defensive asset in Major League Baseball. He's not going to hurt your fantasy baseball team in batting average. He may be much better someday, but I'm just not seeing it for 2017. With that being said, He looked great out of the gate in his debut last season. So perhaps he's one of these guys who just learns really quickly. He's going to improve beyond what I think his skill level tells us. And maybe he'll turn into Francisco Lindor this year. I don't know. But I do know that I'll know a lot more by the end of spring training. So I'll be keeping tabs on seeing what he's doing and try to watch the tape on some of his at-bats against some of the more established pitchers. Another guy that has a ton to prove this year, Pablo Sandoval. It seems like it was just yesterday that he caught the baseball world by storm in spring training and won himself a job, then proceeded to become a star almost overnight. Maybe we'll see that feisty version of Pablo in spring training. If we do, you better believe I'm going to be drafting some shares in my fantasy leagues. But anything other than super impressive, I'm staying away. I suggest you do too. I mean, I'll keep an eye on him either way in April, because if he gets hot, he's going to be a stellar pickup. But I'm just not going to buy into the fitness hype this time unless I see some big production this spring. I've been burned too many times. I'm sure you have too. But just keep an eye on him. Pablo Sandoval is going to be an interesting one. Now, I want to touch on two pitchers who are coming off injury. I guess we already mentioned Lance Lynn, who I'm really fond of grabbing at the end of 10-team league drafts. But then there's Garrett Richards too, who was never going to strike out 200 batters, but he has always allowed some of the best soft contact rates in baseball. And if he looks healthy this spring, I think it's a sure bet to post a low ERA, maybe even sub 3, and grab double-digit wins. Look, that's a really nice addition at the end of draft. So keep an eye on Garrett Richards. If he looks good, go ahead and pounce. A few years ago, Yasiel Puig went nuts in spring training. Then he started his big league career hotter than any rookie since Stan Musial. I'm not even kidding. Look it up. Perhaps we'll see Puig get hungry again and make some noise, but to me, the big talent player I'm expecting to break out this spring, Byron Buxton for the Minnesota Twins. Former top overall prospect. He dealt with some injuries since reaching the bigs. We know he can steal 50 bags in this league, but I was really encouraged to see his bat. His OPS climbed over 800 in the second half last season. I think he's just scratching the surface with his bat. Maybe in 2 years, we're talking about a first-round fantasy pick. I'm not going to bank on that or anything, but I'm certainly planning on taking advantage of his low ADP if he seems focused and healthy this spring. Finally, I just want to close it out by saying if the Phillies actually go through with putting Jeanmar Gomez back in the closer role, when they have one of the best relievers in baseball, Hector Neris, then they would officially surpass the Cleveland Browns as the dumbest organization in sports. I actually think this is great news for fantasy owners. Let me explain. There's no way Jeanmar holds Neris off for this job longer than a month or two. A month or two tops. I bet he wins it sooner than that. But if Neris isn't marked the closer going into spring and even halfway through spring, then we're all going to get a tremendous discount on who could be a top five closer in baseball at the end of the season. I mean, if he had 30 save attempts last year, he would have been a top five closer. So draft Hector Neris with confidence either way. I love the guy. Okay, guys, that's all we have for you on this episode. We've got two more shows coming up next week. Also, I've been spinning out a bunch of prospect articles, so if that's your thing, find one of my recent articles. There's a link to all the rest in there. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your baseball. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.